The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
40 summers have passed since the battle that you fought here. You were young the day you took these cliffs. Some of you were hardly more than boys with the deepest joys of life before you. Yet you risked everything here. Why? Why did you do it? Well, what impelled you to put aside the instinct for self-preservation and risk your lives to take these cliffs? What inspired all the men of the armies that met here? We look at you and somehow we know the answer. It was faith and belief. It was loyalty and love. The men of Normandy had faith that what they were doing was right, faith that they fought for all humanity, faith that a just God would grant them mercy on this beachhead or on the next. It was the deep knowledge, and pray God we have not lost it, that there is a profound moral difference between the use of force for liberation and the use of force for conquest. You were here to liberate, not to conquer, and so you and those others did not doubt your cause, and you were right not to doubt. You all knew that some things are worth dying for. One's country is worth dying for. And democracy is worth dying for because it's the most deeply honorable form of government ever devised by man.
And finally, there were the Americans. They came from the farms of a vast heartland, the streets of glowing cities, and the forges of mighty industrial towns. Before the war, many had never ventured beyond their own community. Now they had come to offer their lives half a world from home. This beach, codenamed Omaha, was defended by the Nazis with monstrous firepower, thousands and thousands of mines and spikes driven into the sand so deeply. It was here that tens of thousands of the Americans came. The GIs who boarded the landing craft that morning knew that they carried on their shoulders not just the pack of a soldier, but the fate of the world. Colonel George Taylor, whose 16th Infantry Regiment would join in the first wave, was asked what would happen if the Germans stopped. Right then and there, cold on the beach, just stopped them. What would happen? This great American replied, "Why, the 18th Infantry is coming in right behind us. The 26th Infantry will come on too. Then there is the 2nd Infantry Division, already afloat, and the 9th Division, and the 2nd Armored, and the 3rd Armored, and all the rest. Maybe the 16th won't make it, but someone will."
When I've been to Normandy, I've gone to the cemeteries in North Africa, the thing that occurs to me when you look at the maps with the flow charts of all these different military units converging on one point from all these different nations, you wonder, could we as a nation today, we're so divided, could we as a nation today come together for such a common purpose with such determination? I worry about that. I worry whether we'd be able to do that today. That what happened 80 years ago today is such a tribute to the character of our nation.
Some good questions there coming from Jay Johnson, of all people. Could we, as a nation today, come together and join as one? We're so deeply, deeply divided. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the 80th anniversary of the D-Day landings. 80 years. It gives us a good opportunity to play one of my favorite speeches, or part of it, from Ronald Reagan 40 years ago. It's hard to believe. He was giving that speech at Point Duhok in 1984, 40 years on, at the 40-year anniversary of D-Day. And now we're 40 years on from President Reagan's speech. 80 years. You can get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Don't forget that today is it's another showtime for Celtic Throne. They're going to be performing tonight in Atlanta. To get to the information you need to buy tickets for tonight's show or for Monday evening's show at the iconic Ryman Theater in Nashville, just go to CelticThrone.com. CelticThrone.com. After those two shows, then they're going to be returning back to Edmond for about a week before they then venture off into the great southwest of these United States. So we have an article going up later today at the website, thetrumpet.com. It's about the D-Day. It's about the 80th anniversary. And the point that it makes, basically, is that the civilization and the values that that we fought for, that we fought to save, those values are pretty much gone. look at looking at the new morality. Mr. Armstrong wrote about this in The Missing Dimension in Sex, just how that revolutionized the Israelite nations. In a way that's so much worse. All of the sins that it just introduced into the United States, Great Britain, Little Judah. But then also you add to that the communist insurrection, the communist infiltration. And Herbert Armstrong had a lot to say about that as well. You can get to The Missing Dimension in Sex. You can get to He Was Right. And that chapter in He Was Right about the communist infiltration of America and how that it was prophesied. Just go to thetrumpet.com or you can call our operators today. The 800 number, it's 1-866-930-3024. Request He Was Right and The Missing Dimension in Sex. And read about the erosion of traditional values, the civilization, the foundation that we fought for, that we climbed cliffs for, risking lives. How many thousands and thousands died? Not just at D-Day, but during World War II, before that, World War I, fighting for liberty, for freedom, for democracy. And look at what so many, as I said on yesterday's show, so many are just happy to step aside and let the revolution continue right here at home. Right here on our shores. They're just infiltrating from every direction. And so many have just completely surrendered. Where is the courage, the spirit that was there on June 6, 1944? You heard President Trump from his address 5 years ago talking about how, well, if this infantry is blasted into smithereens, there's another one coming after that, and then another one after that. just waves and waves of Americans to liberate the continent of Europe. The plain truth, this was back in 1984, so that same year that President Reagan gave his address, one of his most famous speeches, it says that that date, June 6, 1944, one of the most decisive dates in history. It was the greatest combined assault in history, and it goes and talks about the thousands of ships and aircraft and battleships and everything that they sent to liberate the continent. It says, the world has become familiar with the official story of D-Day, the longest day. They've made movies about this, many movies. It says, yet the behind-the-scenes story is even more remarkable and offers convincing evidence of the part a great unseen hand has always played in history, and especially in the history of the Anglo-American people. What about that? Was God involved? I mean, we've gone through this before on this program, on some of these D-Day anniversaries over the years. God miraculously intervening in the weather or whatever else it was to save Israel. And he's going to do it again. He's going to save Israel from its name being blotted out, even. That's the goal of the fundamental transformation. These people that, as I said yesterday, giving you that clip from Victor Davis Hanson, they want to destroy America. They want to blot out even the name of America. President Franklin Roosevelt's simple but eloquent prayer for American forces broadcast to the nation on the evening of D-Day still resonates with emotion. Imagine a president of the United States praying on behalf of the entire nation, and the nation listening in, the nation tuned in. Roosevelt prayed, Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republican, our religion, our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. They will need your blessings. Oh, yes, they will. Their road will be long and hard. The enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces, but we shall return again and again. You see, just like President Trump reminded us of from his address back in 2019, waves and waves of courageous warriors fighting for country, sacrificing their lives in many cases for country. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. Help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves to renewed faith in you in this hour of great sacrifice. You see, when we're in the midst of a great crisis, that's when we need to turn to God in humility and submission. That's when we need to seek renewed faith in God and His power. There's not too many people calling for that today. This article from 1984, this is the plain truth. This is the publication that came before the Trumpet magazine. We've followed right along in those same steps. It says, God reveals in Isaiah 48 and verse 9 that He intervenes for nations, not because of any inherent righteousness or superiority, but for His name's sake. Isn't that interesting? He intervenes for His name's sake. God's the one who named Israel. I think it's Genesis 32, that wrestling match that went right through the night. Jacob wrestling with God. Jacob's hip actually pulled out of socket. And God, after that struggle, Jacob would not let go until God blessed him. And God blessed him, to be sure. And God also changed his name to Israel. God named our people. God named Israel. And it says there in 2 Kings 14 that this demonic movement, spearheaded by Antiochus, that it wants to blot out even the name of Israel. Even the name. And God won't let it happen. God's not going to intervene because of our own righteousness. There's not much of that around. Just look around. God's going to intervene for His name's sake. Go back to that speech that President Trump gave at Normandy 5 years ago, clip three.
We are gathered here on freedom's altar, on these shores, on these bluffs, on this day 75 years ago. 10,000 men shed their blood and thousands sacrificed their lives for their brothers, for their countries, and for the survival of liberty. They were young men with their entire lives before them. They were husbands who said goodbye to their young brides and took their duty as their fate. They were fathers who would never meet their infant sons and daughters because they had a job to do. And with God as their witness, they were going to get it done. They came wave after wave, without question, without hesitation, and without complaint. More powerful than the strength of American arms was the strength of American hearts. These men ran through the fires of hell, moved by a force no weapon could destroy. The fierce patriotism of a free, proud, and sovereign people. Your spirit, brave, unyielding, and true, will never die. The blood that they spilled, the tears that they shed, the lives that they gave, the sacrifice that they made, did not just win a battle. It did not just win a war. Those who fought here won a future for our nation. They won the survival of our civilization.
It was a different time, for sure. 80 years is not that long ago. Two or three generations. And yet look at the American Republic today. I mean, the communist infiltrators have been far more successful than Hitler's regime ever was in overtaking Great Britain and the United States. Look at what that man that you just heard right there, look at what he's being subjected to. Look at what his own fellow Americans are doing to him. Look at how they're persecuting him and his family and anyone associated with him. I mentioned that that case in Wisconsin. This is from the Associated Press. Felony forgery charges were filed in Wisconsin on Tuesday against two attorneys and an aide who helped submit paperwork falsely saying that former President Donald Trump had won the battleground state of 2020. They're being prosecuted because they said, you know what? There was cheating here in Wisconsin and Donald Trump actually won. Something Democrats say all the time when they lose. But you can't say it. If you're a Republican and you're connected to Trump, then you belong in prison. I made this point yesterday. The state charges are the first to come in Wisconsin and follow separate charges brought in Arizona, Michigan, Nevada, and Georgia related to the fake electors scheme. Alternate electors. Something that is constitutional. I've played you those clips from Megyn Kelly where, you know, she said we need to fight fire with fire. Turnabout is fair play. And you had Alan Dershowitz on there saying, look, we can't stoop to their level. We can't prosecute them. As if everything that they are doing, these communists, is lawful. It's illegal what they're doing. To use the justice system to persecute your political opponents, that's illegal. That's tyranny. I think it was Alexander Hamilton in the Federalist Papers that said that's one of the surest signs of tyranny. When you use the system of justice to lock up your political opponents, it's happening all over the country. It's not joining them in the gutter to fight back. These people belong in prison. These ones going after Donald Trump, who did nothing. Two dead misdemeanors. And Matthew Colangelo from the Dear Leaders DOJ resurrects them to life and turns them into 34 felonies. I mean, that's a miracle. There's a real spirit world. What a difference between America today and the one of 80 years ago. What would the so-called greatest generation, there's only a few of them still alive, the ones that stormed the beaches. They're 99, 90, they're 100 years old in some cases. There's just a handful left. The next five-year anniversary, there's probably not going to be any left. What a different republic it is today. They wouldn't even recognize it. If they were 20, 25 years old and they came back, those that sacrificed their lives, they'd say, we fought for this? We fought for this communist infiltration? We fought for this new morality that's destroyed families, that's introduced all kinds of family dysfunction, that's caused our military these days to go woke. I mean, it's worse than a sexual revolution from the 1960s now. It's just sexual deviance and perversion of every kind. And it's being taught to our kindergartners. This was President Trump yesterday at Mar-a-Lago, where he was talking about the lawfare that's been unleashed against him and his family and his associates. Clip 10.
Mr. President, after your verdict, have you lost confidence in your legal team? Have you lost confidence in your legal team after your verdict?
No. It's a rigged system, and it's a terrible system, actually, but it's a rigged system, and I think we're doing very well. We had a big thing happen in Georgia today. You saw that. And step by step, this is a rigged situation. This is a situation where they go after a political opponent, and it all takes place from the White House and from the DOJ, including the state and city cases.
He says the big thing happening in Georgia, the judge down there suspending the RICO cases. So the lawfare, in a lot of ways, is not working. It's certainly not working. Even the lawfare in Manhattan, it's not working in the sense that it's hurting Donald Trump politically. It's actually helping him. I'll come to that in a little bit if we have time. One more clip from Mar-a-Lago, clip 11.
The DOJ ran this thing, the local. It's, you call it a city or a state, but the DOJ ran it. And it's a very bad thing. It's a very dangerous moment, really a dangerous moment for our country. Can't let it happen.
In your New York case, you've said you want to see the Supreme Court intervene. How and when exactly do you want to see
it? Well, we'll see what happens. This is a unique case because they've interfered with the Republican nominee for president of the United States. There's never been anything like that before. And in this case, it was a judge who was appointed. He didn't even get elected. He's appointed. And you take a look at the conflict. Now, I'm gagged. I have a gag order. Can you believe it? I'm the Republican nominee. I'm leading Biden by a lot. And I will say we had the biggest fundraising in the history of politics over the last week. There's never been anything like it. And that, in a certain way, is like a poll, I would say, right?
Yeah.
It's a big poll. But it's been, the biggest fundraising ever. Because the people know it's wrong what's happening. You can't do that to a country.
Fundraising's up. His poll numbers are up. Everything's up for this man. Because, as he says, Americans, they see what's going on. And yet these deranged Marxist lunatics, they continue to go after attorneys for their legal strategy. That's what it amounts to. You would think there would be one attorney general or district attorney somewhere that would go after one of Obama's people or Hillary creating the dirty dossier. Talk about election interference. Not one, not one that I know of was ever indicted or prosecuted for creating those lies. For what about Mark Elias? He's got all kinds of Democrat strategy to interfere in elections, to hurt Donald Trump. Anybody going after him? No, it's just the attorneys representing Trump in Wisconsin, Arizona, Georgia, Nevada. Are there going to be any attorneys left to defend Donald Trump? You see what's going on here. Go after all of his attorneys and terrify those that are there to defend someone like Donald Trump so that he's just left to himself. This article on the craziness in Wisconsin says the Wisconsin charges were brought against Trump's attorney in state, Jim Troupas, attorney Kenneth Cheesebro, and who was advising the campaign, and Mike Roman. All three are due in Dane County Circuit Court on September 19th, according to court records. They each face one felony count, punishable by up to 6 years in prison and fines of up to $10,000. See, they're serious. They're serious about sending their opponents off to jail. They did it with Peter Navarro. They're trying to do it with Steve Bannon. They're doing it with Donald Trump. Here's the fourth state charges brought in Arizona, Michigan, Nevada, and Georgia related to the alternate electors scheme. That's it. Legal strategy. They love it, as I said yesterday, they love it when the lawfare is one-sided. When it's not, they're terrified because they know they're breaking the law. They know it. This is a little bit more from the morning meltdown over what they see as retribution that's coming should Donald Trump return to office. Clip 12.
Donald Trump and his allies are ratcheting up their calls for revenge against Democrats in response to Trump's conviction in his New York City criminal trial. Some examples. In a Fox News interview on Friday, former White House advisor Stephen Miller called on Republican secretaries of state and attorneys general to, quote, get in the game and use every facet of power to go toe-to-toe with Democrats. Also on Friday, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, who is reportedly in the mix to be Trump's running mate, which would make sense given his behavior, wrote on social media, quote, it's time to fight fire with fire. In response to a New York Times piece about recent calls for retribution, former White House chief strategist Steve Bannon echoed Stephen Miller, telling the paper on Tuesday, quote, there are dozens of ambitious backbencher state attorneys general and district attorneys who need to seize the day and own this moment in history.
Victor Davis Hanson had a lengthy post yesterday on X detailing what the Trump administration should do in targeting these traitors. He outlined their election interference, their insurrection, their attempt to overthrow the government, that you could use impeachment powers. They're guilty of sexual assault in some cases, campaign finance violations, classified files. Biden's got them all over the world. They're breaking the law. And they're targeting Trump. And Dershowitz says, you know what? We don't want to fight fire with fire. We don't want to stoop to their level. Just let them get off scot-free. I mean, he's upset about them targeting Trump, but he doesn't want any Democrats targeted. A lot of people think that way. The House yesterday, by the way, they submitted criminal referrals to the DOJ for Hunter Biden and James Biden because they lied. They lied during testimony. If Congress doesn't have some kind of authority to oversee all of this, in this case, corruption, then where does it stop? Who will ever be held to account? Now, the DOJ, it's the Dear Leaders DOJ, so they won't do anything with the criminal referrals, but at least the House is, you know, you can detect a little bit of a pulse from time to time. But still, no impeachment. A year and a half of having control of the House and millions and millions of dollars going to the Biden family from China, from Ukraine, from Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. And nothing being done. Well, we'll see. Maybe if Trump's people get in there, maybe then his DOJ will do something with those criminal referrals I mentioned on yesterday's show. I mean, he does come in with, as your Bible says, some king-like powers. He had a lengthy interview with Sean Hannity. I think it continues tonight, if I'm not mistaken. But this is some from that exchange last night on Hannity's show, clip 7.
But November 5th will go down as the most important election in the history of our country. It's going to be the most important day and period in the history of our country.
Will you pledge to restore equal justice, equal application of our laws, end this practice of weaponization? Is that a promise you're going to make?
You have to do it. But it's awful. Look, I know you want me to say something.
No, I don't want you to say. I'm asking.
I don't want to look naive.
I don't want
what they've done to the Republican Party. They want to arrest on no crime. They want to arrest the person that won the nomination in a landslide. There was nobody even close in a landslide. The person that got millions of votes, more votes than any other sitting president in history in the last election. The person that won an election that he wasn't expected to win against Hillary Clinton in 2016. They want to arrest that person on no crime. They want to arrest. There was no crime. There was no criminality. There was no crime. And you can go back to all of these legal scholars. They can't believe what's happening. Some of them don't even like me. And they're saying this is a very, very dangerous thing that's happening. No, we can't let this happen. And I will do everything in my power not to let. But there's tremendous criminality here. What they're doing to me, if it's going to continue, we're really not going to have much of a country left. It's really, it is weaponization. You call it lawfare. You call it, some people call it just warfare. But it is weaponization of the election. And we're talking about, I think, the most important election in the history of our country.
It's a different time. 80 years ago, you had FDR praying live and the whole country tuning in, praying for the greatest generation, praying for American soldiers, praying for the continent of Europe to be liberated. And then this, you fast forward 80 years, who could have ever imagined that this sort of attack would happen from within? Die by suicide, as Lincoln said in one of his famous speeches. The sickness from within, to paraphrase what your Bible says in Isaiah 1, sick from head to toe, just drenched in sin. So much sin. Look at the difference in America today as compared to 80 years ago. You had the sexual revolution, the new morality of the 1960s. And then today it's so plain as day, this communist insurrection, this attack on America. Their goal, as Victor Davis Hanson said in that clip I played yesterday, it's to destroy America as you know it. Or as 2 Kings 14 says, to blot out even the name. God has to intervene for his name's sake. As that article in The Plain Truth said, this is, again, President Trump from his interview yesterday, clip 6.
The level of power, the level of power with the weapons and the weaponry, that's real weaponry. That's worse than the weaponry that we were talking about a little while ago. This is the ultimate, this is obliteration.
maybe world obliteration. And we have a man that is not capable of even discussing it. He talked the other night about that nuclear doesn't matter so much. What matters is, think of this, global warming. The only global warming that matters to me is nuclear global warming, because that's the real deal. He said it's an existential threat. He loves the words existential threat, that global warming is an existential threat. And he doesn't know why. What is it? It's weather. And I'm all for that. You know what? I'm in a certain way, in a very powerful way. I'm an environmentalist. I want clean air. I want clean water. But this is not the existential threat. Tomorrow, we could have a war that will be so devastating that you could never recover from it. Nobody can. The whole world won't be able to recover from it. And he's talking about something in 400 years from now, the oceans will rise by an eighth of an inch.
Yeah, and even to just add to that, you have Biden, for his part, today. He's over at Normandy. He's giving his speech. He's talking about all the Russian troops that have died in the conflict in Ukraine. Taking the 80th anniversary of Normandy, I guess, to talk about the radical left's favorite war. I mean, they love it to continue on in Ukraine, even as they tell Israel to stop its advance in Gaza. There you go. How do you explain all this? How do you even wrap your mind around it to understand it? America is being attacked from within. And the number one target is that man that you saw right there in that interview. This is from MSNBC. It says, last week, 4 hours after Trump received his felony conviction of falsifying business records, the New York Times and Republican pollster Frank Luntz conducted a focus group with 11 undecided voters from across the country to understand why they're still not sure who they're going to cast their ballot for in 2024. The regime media, they just can't understand how that these things don't hurt Donald Trump. I mean, the lawfare has been so carefully strategized from the beginning, from the dear leader, from Barack Obama. As you've got Fannie's lover in and out of the White House charging Georgia taxpayers, even as he goes, to receive the marching orders. These people are soldiers of the communist left. They're not soldiers advancing freedom abroad. They're Marxist soldiers. And they're overthrowing the government of the United States. They're attempting to blot out even the name of Israel. The riveting result published Tuesday allows us to briefly peer into the minds of some of the most coveted but poorly understood parts of the American electorate. And while these voters' words should humble political prognosticators on both sides of the aisle, I found that a lot of the conversation was particularly concerning for Biden. So they convict him 34 counts, 130-some years in prison, if the crazy judge gives out the maximum penalty. It says here, referring to one of these undecided voters, a 58-year-old white guy from Pennsylvania, he said that Biden was off the table for him because he didn't like how Biden responded to the verdict, explaining that Biden looks ungracious and looks incredibly weak. Biden has dirty hands on this, and that they need to do something to influence voters, something like this, so he can win the election. He's dirty, says this undecided. Further on, 36-year-old black Florida voter didn't go quite so far, but seemed upset by the notion that the trial was a political exercise. And then it quotes her, "It just seems like with the timing of the trial and everything right before the elections, it's just a little off-putting for them to go to this level." President Trump is right. They know. They know what's going on here. The American voters, they understand what's happening. This is from New York Magazine. It says, Trump versus Biden polls conviction not having a big impact yet. They're still hopeful. They're still hoping. But it's not having much of an impact yet. Not like the radical communists had hoped. says here, you can be forgiven if you thought the criminal conviction of Donald Trump on 34 felony counts by a New York jury might be a game-changing moment in the 2024 presidential contest. After all, as we've been reminded countless times, this is an unprecedented development. This is unprecedented. This has never happened before. This is the kind of thing nobody would have dreamed of this 80 years ago. But we're in a different time. Oh, yes. It says here, low information voters, unaware of the 45th president's career-long crime boss habits, this is the New York Magazine, keep that in mind, when it comes to skirting the law, would be shocked to find him facing a possible jail sentence, right? Plus, there was a lot of polling data indicating that adding convicted criminal to a presidential candidate's resume might cause voters to reconsider their choice of candidates. In the end, though, the key question isn't how voters think about Trump's conviction or his underlying conduct. It's whether they'll still vote for him as president. And then further on, it says the polling averages haven't budged. At Real Clear Politics, Trump led Biden in head-to-head matchups by 0.8% on May 30th, the day of the guilty verdict. Now his lead is at 1.1%. So he's gaining. His lead is increasing as a result of this. And the black woman from Florida quoted in the previous article, she knows, she sees it. The timing of this, I mean, it just doesn't add up. To do this right before the election, is that fair? Is this for real? Is this legitimate? It's not legitimate at all, is it? It's all part of the attack. America is under attack. There's articles now that are going by this title. This book's been around for 10, 12 years. 12 years! 11 years, to be precise. We've been saying it from the beginning. Trump is coming back, and he's probably going to bring a little bit of retribution along with him. Listen again to his interview with Hannity, clip 8.
But focus on those that want people to believe that you want retribution, that you will use the system of justice to go after your political enemies.
So, number one, they're wrong. It has to stop because otherwise we're not going to have a country. Look, when this election is over, based on what they've done, I would have every right to go after them. And it's easy because it's Joe Biden. And you see all the criminality, all of the money that's going into the family and him. All of this money from China, from Russia, from Ukraine.
You see all the criminality, and that's just what the family's guilty of. But look at what they're doing to the country. Their goal, again, VDH said it. Their goal is to destroy America. Listen to this report from Fox News's Bill Malusian. He's the one that will actually go down to the border and report from the scene of the crime. This is clip 9.
What makes this San Diego sector where we are so unique is we almost never see any Mexicans or Central Americans crossing illegally out here. It's always people coming from the other side of the world. Case in point, take a look at this video we shot last night. We were out here as President Biden's executive order was taking effect around sunset local time. Came across this group of predominantly Chinese and Vietnamese nationals being arrested by Border Patrol after crossing illegally. They were simply processed as this executive order was taking effect. It's been busy. Business as usual out here. Haven't really seen any big change one way or the other. We'll show you what we saw earlier in the afternoon. Take a look at this video, Harris. This was a bunch of guys from the Middle East crossing illegally in a much bigger group. Several of them, those special interest aliens, meaning they are coming from countries that have potential national security or terror concerns, and they're supposed to get additional DHS vetting. We caught up with several guys from Egypt, Jordan, and Turkey.
They're not even coming from Mexico or Central America. Isn't this crazy? This is an attack. It's an invasion. And Bill Malusian's about the only one that will even report on it. Everybody, and never mind the executive action, hasn't done a thing. Won't do anything. It's just there as fake legislation. It's just there conveniently enough to try to help the fake president get reelected or to try to help them steal yet another election. America is under attack. If you don't have that book, again, there's no cost, no obligation. Just call our 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. When we come back, we've got a Behind the Work segment that we've been sitting on for a few days, just haven't had the time to play it. And then also, if we have time, we'll play you some feedback from Jacksonville the other night, one of the more exciting shows that I've ever witnessed for Celtic Throne. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
During the first weekend of May, best-selling author and award-winning filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza visited the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus for two action-packed days of activity. In the morning of Sunday, May 5th, he toured the Kingdom of David and Solomon Discovered exhibit in the Armstrong Auditorium lobby. On Sunday afternoon, he viewed a performance of Celtic Throne with nearly 700 other audience members. He congratulated the cast and crew after the show.
Not expected. It was great.
How long have you guys been working on this?
A while. But it shows. Your son. Look at you little guys. You're amazing. We're all great performers. And smiling too. Well, congratulations on an amazing performance. I'm delighted to be part of it. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks for coming.
That evening, nearly 400 people attended D'Souza's special address at the auditorium, centered on the theme, Why Fight for America? The Armstrong Youth Chorus performed the full-length version of the Star-Spangled Banner before his address. D'Souza met with audience members in the lobby after his speech. The next day, Imperial Academy students lined the street next to the school to greet the special guest on his way to the Trumpet Daily studio. Presenter Mr. Stephen Fleury interviewed D'Souza live on the program. They also pre-recorded another interview segment about the roots of Barack Obama's rage that played on the program later that week.
But it was Obama, because there were unsigned editorials. And so I would be attacked by name and the film, clearly by Barack Obama. And I could even recognize his cadence, because Obama has a certain way of talking, you know.
After a special luncheon on the Armstrong Auditorium balcony, D'Souza headed for the airport.
I'm just honored and delighted to be here. This event came about almost accidentally. I got a letter from the college, from the church, about the archaeological exhibit. And somehow the archaeological exhibit, the Celtic throne, and then my speaking sort of all fell together. And it's been just a jam-packed day and a lot of fun. In fact, I'm thinking I'm not leaving. If you see me on campus like 3 days from now.
To learn more about the Trumpet Daily and keep up with future interviews, visit trumpetdaily.com.
There you go. A look back at the exciting two-day visit we had from Dinesh D'Souza, conservative author and filmmaker. Hard to believe that was a month ago. There's so much that's happened since, including just all the events from this past weekend in Florida. I had mentioned yesterday on the show just how glorious Mar-a-Lago is, really and truly like a palace almost. And one of our news gatherers reminded me of what it says there in First Kings 11 about the original Jeroboam, the first Jeroboam, who was known for his many building projects. And certainly we're seeing a Jeroboam type in these last days who has building projects all over the earth. I mean, the fruits of that man's labor, they're there to see, for everyone to see, on various continents even, all over the world. That's in 1 Kings 11, verses 26 through 28, if you want to look at that on your own time. Just a reminder here, as we wrap things up, CelticThrone.com will give you all the information that you need for the upcoming shows in Atlanta. That's tonight. And then Monday evening, Nashville, Tennessee at the Ryman Theater. Just go to CelticThrone.com. If you're in the Southwest, we've got another tour that's about to take off here in a week and a half, 2 weeks. So check out CelticThrone.com if you'd like to secure tickets for one of the upcoming performances. With that, we will conclude today's program with feedback from the Jacksonville show a couple nights ago.
It's really cool.
It's cool.
A lot of cool choreography. Very in sync. It was very cool.
Enjoyed it a lot. Yeah.
Oh, the show is great. Great dancing and singing and just overall great show.
Quite enjoyable. Yes, I love it.
It's amazing. The amount of coordination and just flexibility and footwork and just, I have no words. I'm just sitting there like, this is amazing. I can imagine the amount of practice and stretching and coaching and all of that. Like, it's amazing.
I'm a 25-year Army veteran, and this show was amazing for me because my origins are from Scotland, and I have a lot of pride in my heritage, but also a lot of pride in my country. I think this show should be mandatory viewing for every American today. Thank you so much. I feel so honored to be here with you.
I really love the performance, the lighting, the choreography. Everything was amazing.
Great show. Oh, fantastic. Best show ever seen.
Oh, good.
It was so amazing. And I felt it. And your performance, and your music, your choreography, the whole thing.
I can't even play it.
Broke me up. The other people who aren't Celtic, you might get it too.
It's really buzzing.
We've never had so many standing ovations like the people in the front, like it's every number.
We absolutely enjoyed, engaged, and loved all the opportunity to experience this Celtic experience, and I can't even totally express how amazing everyone in the entire stage production, from the music, the dance, the choreography, the sound control. You guys have your act together.